Hello, welcome to the 10th episode of the Dragon's Pen, podcast about fantasy writing, sci-fi writing, and other genre-specific writing. My name is Martin, I'm a fantasy writer myself, and I have spent years attending and leading workshops working with aspiring writers to help them understand how to improve their texts. I thought I might share my experience and give you some advice on how to develop your worlds, build your stories and characters, and help you write your own fantasy or sci-fi saga. So, let's get to it. The title of this week's episode is The Chekhov's Magic Wand. I will be talking about storytelling principle called the Chekhov's Gun. It says that if there is a gun in the room where the story takes place, it has to be shot before the end of the story. You might heard of this one before, it is fairly well known. It basically says, don't put useless stuff in your story. You know, imagine Star Wars with lightsabers and all of them without any single lightsaber fight. You know, like, what's the point of having cool laser swords if you're not going to, you know, duel with them? If I may refer to the example from my previous episodes, you know, Alex, the orphan with mysterious mark on his skin, the mark, is pretty much Chekhov's gun in this story. It is not just about having useless stuff, but also about building anticipation. Think back to the first Star Wars. They were happy to show you the lightsaber fairly early in the movie, but the duel did not take place until almost the very end of the movie. That is part of the whole Chekhov's gun principle. Teasing, creating anticipation, creating a bit of tension by showing the gun to the reader and not saying who is the one that is going to be shooting it and in which direction. The mark on Alex's skin, pretty much the same thing. I can have it glow from time to time. I can have Alex find a similar mark in abandoned temple, stuff like that. But the reveal, the actual purposeful use of this mark should take place later towards the end. Let's say the mark summons a dragon. You kind of want to have the dragon summoned, you know, in the climax of the story. It would be an entirely different story if Alex found out everything he needed to know to be a hero in the second chapter, summon the dragon and be like, oh, okay, that's it. Let's just go save the world then. There is so much to tell about Chekhov's gun in principle, in storytelling, you know, in general. But there is much more acute use of it in a genre-specific literature like fantasy or sci-fi by a lot of aspiring authors. You know, let's call this principle the Chekhov's town. Many aspiring authors struggle with this principle not when they build the story itself, but rather when they build the world the story takes place in. I talked about this a little in the episode The Lion, The Witch, and the World-Building Story Conflict, I think episode 3. Many writers are just swept away by the endless possibilities of creating their own world. And I have to say, I do get it. I absolutely do. It is fantastic when you, you know, approach the first world-building stage where you can just kind of create your own thing without anyone looking over your shoulder. A number of these freshly created worlds ended up in my hands over the years, and they all suffer a lot from the lack of understanding of Chekhov's gun principle, which is, you know, kind of counterintuitive if you think about it. Chekhov's gun is a, you know, storytelling principle, not world-building principle, but it really, it makes sense. Think of every piece of your world as sort of, you know, a Chekhov's gun on its own that should actually have its place in the story itself. And I don't necessarily mean just, you know, places in the world. I mean aspects of it too. Let's say your magic system. I have seen this a lot of times. Aspiring authors can spend an amazing amount of time trying to explain their magic system to their readers. Or even, you know, in writing discussions like, please review my magic systems, urgent. Don't get me wrong, if you are building your story around magic and spells, or maybe a mage, it really makes sense to spend some time coming up with a good and working magic system. No question about it. The real question is, are you going to use it in its entirety? Is the magic going to be your Chekhov's gun of the story. If not, why bother? You can leave a lot of the, you know, spells out of the story and actually save a lot of money on special effects budget. Okay, so let me know if you ever seen or possibly written something like this. Alex was born in a village of Ungbald, small settlement outside of all main cities of the Kingdom of Ran. Inhabitants of Ungbald lived mostly selling cattle, and since located in the hills, wool was a big part of their lives. Many similar villages were spread around the mountains, providing quality wool to the cities of the kingdom. Widely regarded as a precious commodity, the wool was thick due to the hard winters. Or something like this, maybe. Alex did not know much about magic. He knew there were large universities and libraries teaching powerful mages in the cities, but he never saw one, nor met a mage. He knew what pretty much everyone knew. You have to have a gift and see colors to be able to find streams of pure magic seeping from below the ground. The mages would look for these places and protect them with almost religious adoration. They would build grand temples and towers above the most powerful streams of magic in which they could rest and regain their magic potential. They would use magic potential to create spells, but it wasn't as easy or simple as that. Any mage would only be able to retain only so much of the magic within themselves. I mean, sure, it is fascinating to know how the economy of your world works and, you know how the magic system works, but does Alex know? Does the reader needs to know? Is this the Chekhov's gun of your story? The answer usually is nope for either of those questions. So let's take a closer look. How can you tell? Well, it's quite simple, really. There is a good reason Chekhov's gun is not a Chekhov's rug or cattle or Chekhov's pillow. There is an inherent danger and tension to the gun itself. It can be just hanging there, you know, on a wall, but as long as it is the only weapon in the story, it provides a sense of unease. Maybe one of the characters can clean it from time to time, you know, hold it, maybe load it, aim it into space, just to hammer down the tension. It would not be as chilling with a pillow. The gun is made specifically for hurting and for killing. So which one of these characters I'm reading about is going to get hurt and by whom? Chekhov's gun does exactly that. It provides tension, teases trouble, and has a specific purpose that it is not being used for purposefully until the right time. How is the wool export economy ever going to provide the same sense of unease? Well, maybe you are uncomfortable with sheep, but you know, it doesn't really hammer it down. Maybe if the story, you know, begins with a whole herd of sheep going missing, but still not the same thing. I mean, it's a mystery, sure, it sparks conflict for the village, but it does not really, you know, work in providing a sense of upcoming danger. Maybe if the sheep were slaughtered on the spot, but that would kind of change the story, wouldn't it? Villagers would probably, you know, go search for the attacker, maybe, you know, thinking it's a pack of wolves. Maybe they would even call in some soldiers from the nearby town. I mean, it can still provide a thrilling story, but there is not much of a Chekhov's gun principle. Remember, Chekhov's gun should tease its purpose. You know what the gun is for. That doesn't really apply to sheep situation. So, you know, probably not. We probably don't need it in a text. We don't really need to explain how the economy of the village Alex is growing up in works. We don't need to know about sheep. He needs to know how to trim them, how to take care of them, how to herd them. And maybe that's what he should be doing in the first, I don't know, two chapters before something happens. So, okay, maybe the sheep is not the Chekhov's gun we are looking for. But maybe the magic system is. You know, we can tease about the magic system and the streams of pure magic seeping from the ground until Alex eventually, what, uses magic? Not too specific, really. If there is an information like, be careful about walking into a stream of raw magic, it kills everyone, you know, not trained in magic wielding. Now, that is pretty specific. It even kind Gunn provides the solution. Alex has to walk into the stream of magic to prove he is more powerful than anyone anticipated. But it is kinda too obvious. You can almost say it will kill anyone except for Alex in chapter 18. Well, you know, thanks for the heads up. So how do you deal with that? So you want to use the Chekhov's gun in your story, in your world. It provides amazing source of tension, of anticipation, and you know, this upcoming danger. But Chekhov's gun works best when it's there in the scene, in a world, but never explicitly mentioned. Characters can look at it, touch it, clean it, but it works best when it is never really addressed as an actual gun. So how do you hide your Chekhov's gun without, you know, not having a Chekhov's gun? There is a huge difference between, you know, a character thoughtlessly cleaning a gun and character saying stuff like, don't touch that gun, I keep it loaded all the time. And I mean all the time, even at the end of the book. It kind of breaks the spell of the Chekhov's gun. The same goes for walking into a raw magic stream. If you have a wise old mage says, don't do that, everyone knows somebody in the text is about to try eventually. It is just too obvious. Many aspiring authors struggle with that, or, you know, try to, you know, play coy or have characters keep unnecessary secrets like, don't go any closer. But why, Mr. Mage? It is dangerous. That's all you need to know. Well, thanks for that very specific warning. The best way to keep your Chekhov's gun from being too obvious, yet still be a gun, is to not regard it as a gun. Good example for this comes from a very surprising source, actually. Do you remember the Transformers movie? You know, the first one of many? Anyway, there was this cube, this ancient artifact, and it served as a MacGuffin for most of the plot. I will talk about MacGuffins in, you know, later episodes, but for now, all you need to know is that it's an object that moves the plot forward. Everyone wanted the cube, thus the plot moved forward towards the cube. But eventually they reached the cube, and there was this little three-line dialogue that kinda turned it from MacGuffin to the Chekhov's gun. You know, they were holding the cube and Optimus said something like, if all else fails, push the cube into my chest. It will destroy the cube. You know, it will kill me as well, but, you know, that's the sacrifice I'm willing to make. What he actually said for the purpose of the plot was, if you push the cube into any transformer, the cube and the mentioned transformer will be dealt with forever. He didn't really say the any part, but it was sort of, you know, in between the lines. That's how actually, you know, they solved the final battle eventually. So when Shia LaBeouf's character pushed the cube into Megatron instead of Optimus, it did provide a bit of surprise, and it fired the Chekhov's gun. The cube was used to dispatch a transformer and to dispatch itself. And that is how you deal with keeping the Chekhov's gun from being too obvious. Who knew? Transformers, you know, a learning resource? Okay. But this is exactly how. You don't make it a gun. You regard it as something else, something other than a gun, while keeping the gun function. Let's swing back to our raw magic stream example. We need, for the purpose of the plot, say something like, only very powerful beings survive walking into the stream. But we don't necessarily want any characters to say it straight up, you know, and spoil the ending. At the same time, we don't want characters, you know, to keep it a secret on purpose. It really breaks the logic if you think about it. It would be like having an electrical box, you know, saying danger and not danger electricity. It does not really make sense, just, you know, danger can mean anything. A rabid chimpanzee can attack you if you open the electrical box. It doesn't make sense, but it can happen according to what is written on the box. In real world, you don't tell people just half of the information, the half of the warning, if you want them not to do something. You tell them, don't touch the electrical box. Raw electricity would, you know, stop your heart if you touch it. So how do I make the character say what I want it to say in a way that won't spoil the ending too much? Well, it is actually our world. We can change literally anything. We don't have to make the character say it. You know, the mage could simply be missing an arm, you know? Why? I tried to reach into the stream of raw magic. Well, we're done. We know the stream of pure magic is dangerous. It costs him an arm, and he's a powerful mage. It cannot be good. Yeah, sure, a perceptive reader might actually, you know something is going to happen. You know, they might find some foreshadowing there, of course, but there is a little way around it, simply because this is an entirely new world for the reader. This is the last big issue with hiding your Chekhov's gun in fantasy or sci-fi sagas. A gun in your world doesn't have to be all too dangerous. Maybe a pillow is the most dangerous thing in your world. So you kind of have to show the reader what the gun is and how does it work. At least a little bit. And aspiring authors are often so eager to show off their worlds and teach its inner workings to their reader, the text gets just overwhelming because you want to show the readers how your magic system works. And for that, they need to understand how raw magic works. And for that, they need to understand where the raw magic comes from, and so on and so forth. And, you know, let me ask you this. Do you actually know how guns work? The physics behind it and the mechanic law? Okay, well, maybe you know, but you know, that's beside the point. You don't really need to know how the gun works to know it is dangerous. All you really need to know is you point it and it hurts someone you are pointing it at. You don't really need your readers to understand the inner laws of your magic system for them to understand it is dangerous. You need to understand your magic system, sure, but not your reader. You need to make sense of it in your world, your story, but you don't need to teach it to your reader or to your main character unless that's what the story is about. Or maybe for some other reasons, like, you know, there are some reasons. But most of the time, you'll mostly just end up piling words on your reader, which is never good. For your Chekhov's gun to work, you don't really need to explain what gun is and how it works. You just need the unease that comes from the danger of there being a gun that is unattended at the moment. That way, all you need is a scene where Alex stumbles, let's say, into the cave, pursued by some beast or something, and in the cave there is a stream of blue light. Alex tries to explore it, and the monster jumps him. The monster accidentally falls into the light and disintegrates. There, the danger is obvious there, or maybe villagers know about the cave and have their own horrifying stories to scare children off. There is the soul of an ancient dragon that eats everyone that comes closer, or, I don't know, a river of light so powerful a touch would sweep you and burn you alive. Maybe there would be a villager with horrible burns he got when he got into the cave when he was a child. That would actually, you know, set up the danger, and set up the danger in very understandable way. We don't know the Alex is, you know, unique yet. He's just a guy, a boy in a village with mysterious cave that is dangerous and it burns people alive. That way, it's not a Chekhov's gun, it's a folklore. Yet the reader understands the gravity of the situation and gravity of danger. So even though it, you know, seems natural in the world, it serves as a Chekhov's gun in this particular story. And maybe in chapter 18, Alex can see a similar stream of light, maybe more powerful one. Fight the enemy right next to it. Be slowly pushed into the stream by an enemy. Enemy believes Alex is going to die. Alex believes he's going to die. The reader does too, and then Alex touches the stream and uses the gun to shoot the enemy in the face. There, you know, the Chekhov's way. That's how we do it in Russia. So that's about it for Chekhov's gun in your story and in your world. Basically, don't put stuff you're not gonna use in your story, in your world, or in your story. And if they are there, make your characters use them. Chekhov's gun is a fantastic principle that helps you create tension, build anticipation, and make your reader go on forward in your texts in, you know, waiting for what is going to happen with your Chekhov's gun. And you know, there's plenty of stuff you can use as a Chekhov's gun. There's a lot of things we can talk about in this principle in the future, and I promise I will eventually, but you know, as a basics, this is it. This is the Chekhov's gun, something you eventually use. The reader knows how to use it, you know how to use it, and you wait for the right time. So, good luck with your writing, and hopefully you were at least a little bit inspired. Thank you for listening.